Amen. Thank you, Carol. And open your Bibles again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, to look at those wise men. But anyway, amen. You'll notice the words in verse 16, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And as you can see, we have the Lord's Supper table set up. And normally we have the Lord's Supper on a Sunday evening because we have so many folks in other ministries, but every now and then we do try to have it on Sunday morning so that nursery workers who typically are in the Sunday evening working nursery, they get to participate then in the Lord's Supper as we have it on a Sunday morning. So always it is a blessing to observe the Lord's Supper. And don't worry, you know, you see that and you think, oh, we're going to get out late. There is no early, no late. We always get out the same time, pretty much. And you don't have to worry about that. I do have a clock somewhere. Amen. So you never have to think about it. You look around, there are none up here, but everything's going to be okay. We didn't come to get out. We came to get something from God. And so I hope that you'll let God speak to your heart. It's kind of an interesting message. Of course, we know the Lord's Supper is about the remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a memorial service. We talk about it often and preach different messages about it. It is a memorial service. It is a time to remember the Lord Jesus and to think about his death, his burial, his resurrection. Think about his life. He lived a perfect life. Had he not, he could not have been the sacrifice for our sins, but he did. He lived a perfect life here on this earth, and then he died on the cross. Of course, Carol just sang about how he was born in a manger. He was born to die on a cross. He was not, you know, we say, oh, you know, what a pity. It's so sad that Jesus died on the cross. Well, it's sad that he had to, but it was for our sins that he died on the cross. That's why he came. He came to die on a cross. And in a few minutes, we will observe the Lord's Supper together. I do want to remind you that 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that we need to examine ourselves. As we observe the Lord's Supper together, as a church, we do not require that you be a member of our church to take the Lord's Supper with us, but we do ask that you examine yourself. Number one, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I remember as a teenager who was unsaved, I remember going to church, and they had the Lord's Supper, and they said, you need to be saved. I remember sitting to the side, not taking the Lord's Supper, because I was not saved. And again, you say, oh, then everybody will know. Well, then get saved. Amen. Just get saved. But I remember that, you know, I knew that. So you need to be saved. Number two, you should have followed the Lord in baptism. That's the first step of obedience. After we get saved, we get baptized, we follow the Lord in baptism, we identify with his death, his burial, his resurrection, and we get baptized, and then we should be right with the Lord. Now, nobody in this room is perfect, all right? But we can be right with the Lord. We can get things right with him, and the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. I would encourage you. That's why I always have the Lord's Supper after the preaching time and the altar call, because if there's things you need to make right with him, you ought to make them right. The Lord's Supper is not an option. It's not, you know, for the Christian, it is something he said, this do in remembrance of me. It's not an option. It is something that we do. And so you say, well, you just said, though, if I'm not right, then there's only one option. That's to get right and then observe the Lord's Supper together. But I want to talk to you about that one word that I mentioned a little while ago, the word mentioned twice here in verse 16. That's the word communion. Now, I'm just curious, how many of you call the Lord's Supper, how many of you call that communion? Raise your hand if you do. I have at times, all right? Several people do, all right? Patty, a little while ago, she said, oh, Pastor, I said something about communion. It is interesting. How many of you call it the Lord's Supper? Raise your hand. Okay, and you know what? We're probably about half and half on that, and neither one's wrong, and it is fine to call it either thing. But I want to. I don't know that I've ever preached on this topic, and that is the word communion. Father, I pray you bless the preaching now, And I would ask you to speak to our hearts and give us what we need from thy word today. Thank you, God, for the word of God. Thank you for giving us the word in writing so that we can read it, so we can have it with us and study it. And thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that guides us into the truth of the scripture. And Father, certainly if there's someone here that's not saved today, I recognize the Holy Spirit of God could convict them, show them that need to be saved. And I pray you would do that. That they would come to Christ today and be born again. And then I pray for Christians all over this room that we would examine ourselves, that we would get right with you and be what we ought to be as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper together. I pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, Craig, when he was leading singing, he had us turn to "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds" and as one of the songs during the service. And he talked about the memories of how years ago this church, after the Lord's Supper, they would all sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." And I believe I've actually done that before myself, not here, but in other churches. And of course, the tie that binds us is the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He is the tie that binds. And as we, I was thinking about that all week long, you know, thinking about how we have the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial service, and it's all about the blood, and it's all about the body of Jesus Christ. And I looked at this verse, and here's why so many call the Lord's Supper communion. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The communion of the blood of Christ. Then it says, the bread, which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, probably many folks don't realize, well, why do we say communion? Why is it called that? Well, notice in, it goes on in verse 17, says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And it is a recognition of how the many are one in Jesus Christ. The word communion literally means fellowship. And we don't usually think about fellowship when we have the Lord's Supper. We don't usually, in fact, like I say, I don't know that I've ever preached on this before the Lord's Supper. I don't remember ever doing that anyway. And talking about the fellowship. Do you understand? The only way and the way that we have this fellowship today is because Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. His body was broken. That's the only way that we can have our fellowship. We talk about fellowship, and the best fellowship in the world is Christian fellowship. And it's amazing. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was kind of remarking about how amazing the church is. It really is. How we come from different backgrounds, we think differently. I mean, honestly, all you have to do is spend a little time with your fellow church members, you'll find out you think different. Now, you think they think differently. They think you think differently. We're different. We just are different. How in the world do we all come together? How do we run buses? How do we operate a nursery? How do we have Sunday school class? How in the world does this all happen? Well, it's our fellowship, but it's what our fellowship's based on. It's the communion. It's the fellowship of the blood of Jesus Christ and the broken body of Jesus Christ. When we observe the Lord's Supper, it is a memorial service to remember Jesus, but let's also understand it's the basis of our fellowship with one another. It is the basis of our relationship to one another. And so communion means fellowship. The fellowship, he said, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? Is it not? I mean, this is how, right here, when we observe the Lord's Supper, it is how we have any ministry here. It is how we do anything that we do. It is why, listen to me, is why we should get along with each other. It is why you say, well, I'm pretty mad, so-and-so parked in my spot. Well, this is why you should forgive them for doing such a terrible thing. Amen? Because I know your name's on that spot, right? Yeah. I mean, it is why, no matter what it is why we should all love each other. Communion. This right here, as we have the Lord's Supper, again, we should always think about Jesus. That's what it's all about. This do in remembrance of me. But let's think about something else too. Let's think about the fact that communion is about our fellowship. It's about us coming together. And again, we don't spend a lot of time. We don't, but it's about our relationship with each other as a church. The communion. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one. Here, we being many. Look all around. We're a whole bunch of folks. We think different. We do things differently. We don't come from the same place. Some of you, you know, some like the University of Michigan, some like Michigan State, some actually are for Ohio State. Oh. How could they possibly? And some people like the color blue. Some people like the color red. Some people, you know, you like the color clear. And anyway, but we, how can we get along with, how in the world? Well, because of the communion. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Christmas is all about Jesus. Look, I know you might believe in Frosty the Snowman, but I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. Amen. It's not just happy holiday. It's Merry Christmas. It's Jesus Christ came to die on a cross to save our souls. It is how we have fellowship with each other. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion, number one. Communion because we are family. We are family. It's called communion because we're a family. God is our Father. And I love it in the Old Testament. It says, we be brethren. Amen. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, you know, for some, that takes you back to, yeah, when I fight with my brothers and sisters. And guess what? When you do, and when you did, it didn't please your parents very much, did it? Hello. Right? And moms and dads here, we don't like it when our kids fight, do we? And we didn't like it when they fought. And it hurt us. Why? This is, how many of us have said to a brother or a sister, you know, a child, how many times have we said to them, hey, that's your brother that you kicked. That's your sister you pulled her hair. What are you thinking? And, you know, and the guy says, okay. But we're not very pleased, are we? I've got news for you, folks. Our Father, in just a few minutes, when we pass out the elements and we observe the Lord's Supper together, He wants you to think about, that's your brother, your sister that's sitting next to you. That's because we're all part of the same family. It's communion because we're family. It's fellowship like a family, amen? We are brethren. Recently, I preached a message about the different names that the Bible calls us, and one of those precious names is the name brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, because we have the same Father, amen? I go back, I think about David and Angela when they were little, and we've talked about some of the things. There, you know, about four or five years difference between them. David, you know, he's older, and Angela just was always a pain. I mean, she really, you know, guys that have younger sister, I mean, they can be a pain. And one of the big issues as they were growing up, and I remember it well. I don't know how many times we had to deal with this, but David had G.I. Joes and had lots of G.I. How many of you know what I'm talking about? G.I. Joes. Those are amazing, aren't they? Yeah, we all had. You know, G.I. And Dave had a huge collection of G.I. Joes. And he had all these G.I. Well, Angela, she had Barbie dolls. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, some of you do. All right, several fellas know. Unbelievable. Some of the most amazing arguments that were heard in our house. Angela had the audacity. You're not going to believe this. She had the audacity to have her Barbie meet a G.I. Joe, and they got married. I remember Dave, you know, as first grade, whatever, you know, first, second, third grade. I mean, when that happened, he's like, Dad! What happened, son? What'd your sister do? They got married. He's ruined. He'll never be the fighting man that he... Oh, he'll learn how to fight different. But anyway, I remember one year we got Dave an electronic set. And sure enough, you know, one day, Angela was all upset. And we got, couldn't figure out what's the deal. She might have been 5 years old or something like that. It wasn't last week. But she was all upset. Dave had literally, somehow with his electronic set, he had made an alarm so every time she opened his door, it buzzed. And she was upset. Now, I want to just say this. Fathers want their kids to get along. Amen. And it's been wonderful now that they're getting older. They are starting to get along better. But I think he's got some deep, deep hurt from those G.I. Joes getting married. But you know, as a father, it pleases him too. Because again, communion, it's all about, we can fellowship, it's all based on him. It's all based on, how can we get along with him? But it's all based on Jesus. It's all based on the fact that we are in the same family. God is our Father. And the Bible says this in Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. That's what it says. It's pleasant not only for them, but it's pleasant for our Father. Well, come on. I mean, we love it when our kids are all they're all getting along with each other and they're all happy and they're not fighting with each other and Poindexter's not pulling his sister's hair and they're not kicking and fighting and screaming, and we love that. Well, our Father does too. He does. He really does. And he loves it when we overlook the fact that we're all wicked and sinners. And he loves, you know, that we annoy each other. He loves that we can ignore that, we can forgive, and we can move on. Amen. He really does. And so communion, as we have communion, think about the fact that we're family. We're family. We all have different backgrounds. We do different things. We think differently. But because of Jesus Christ, we're family. Amen. And as we have the Lord's Supper, we'll think of Jesus hanging on the cross. Every Lord's Supper, I stop and I pause and I just think about Jesus hanging on that cross. I think about the cat of nine tails whipping across his body and peeling his flesh from his body and the blood squirting. And I think of, and you say, preacher, that's horrible, but that's what my sin is. It's horrible. And he died for me. But as I think about that, I'm also going to think about how, those that are here in this church, I need to help you. I need to get along with you and love you and pray for you. And we need to pray for each other and love each other like a family that gathers around the table on Thanksgiving. And we maybe get together and we share different things that happen. We laugh and we cut up. That's how this family needs to be. We need to remember this is our family. Communion because we are family. The second thing is it's communion because of our function. Our function. You'll notice verse 17 says, we being many are one. We being many are one. You know, the Bible says that we, talking about you and I, we have the mind of Christ. You ever think about that? We have the mind of Christ. And the Lord's Supper, it reminds me that I am to function with you as one body, with one mind. Isn't that amazing to think about? One body. One body has a whole bunch of parts. Honestly, I mean, our body, it's amazing. When you just study the human body, I don't know how anybody believes in evolution. Honestly, just study the human body, and it just all points to God. But boy, you start thinking about, this is a body right here, okay, with one mind, and that's the mind of Christ. Yeah, if we would all just tap into the mind of Christ, if we would all just listen to him, it would function like a body. functions. Amen. There's a lot of parts, but each has its place, and each is supposed to carry out what its function is, and that's what our bodies do. You know, it would be a dummy that would purposely poke his eye. Okay, don't do it. Let's not have any illustrations of that right now, all right? You know, you say, well, let me just see. Yeah, I am. Okay, let's not. It would be a dummy that would punch his face. Yeah, you just decide to punch your face. Don't. Okay, I'm trying to help some that, you know, right around that line. But it'd be a dummy that would bite his finger on purpose. Well, let me just see what it's like. You know, don't. All right? We're a body. It seems like it would be rather foolish to do anything to hurt our body, wouldn't it? That's why, honestly, if I were to hurt Glenn Carpenter, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, because we're a body. We're part of the same body. Okay, it'd be just as foolish for me to do something to hurt Dale Bowman as it would be for me to slap myself several times across the face. It doesn't make sense to do that. Or for me to stomp on my own foot. Doesn't make sense. I understand that. Well, we should not wound our body. It ought to bother us when our body is hurting. I promise you that this hand is affected by this hand. It automatically is. I mean, this hand would not, if a hand could rejoice, this hand would not rejoice if this hand was broken. Why? Because now it's got to do all the work. You know? I mean, seriously, every part of the body should be important to the body. And God says, when you take the Lord's Supper, I want you to remember something. I want you to understand that there is fellowship based upon Jesus Christ, because we have a function here, and we are to function as one. With Him being the brain, Him being the mind, Him being the commander, Him telling us what we are supposed to do. You ever thought about, you know, if you wound a part on your body, what if you wound somebody in your church, what if that part is the part that would one day lead your child to Christ? But you wounded that part, or you destroyed that part. I mean, what if that part that today you wound somehow, you know, you're not friendly, or you're a grump, or why'd you park in my spot, you know, whatever. You know, it's hard to even tell there are spots out there, you know, because there's the stripes, right, Kathy? It is. It's getting tough. Next year, we'll get that painted. But you know, what if that part that you've wounded, what if that's the part that was going to help you get out of a mess someday? You know, you'd be amazed how many. Do you understand God doesn't drop money from heaven? Has anybody ever prayed and $100 bills floated down? I've never had that happen to me. Never. Honestly. Now if you have, you know, I'd be really amazed. And I want to know where that was. I want to get under that tree. Amen. But God doesn't. He doesn't do that typically. He doesn't drop money from heaven. He doesn't drop gold from heaven. That could hurt. But oh, the pain, right? No. But He doesn't do that. But wait a minute. What does He do? Well, here's what He does. He tells part of the body. That's what He does. Wait a minute. He tells part of the body, and then He enables that part to be able to do it. And I don't know how many times God says, give that person $20. And I say, well, Lord, I don't know if I have $20. And then I think, how foolish. He knows I do, or He wouldn't have told me to do it. And somebody comes, gives me $20. And then I have to go give it to the, amen? That's how He does it. But here was that part that was going to help you a year from now. But you decided, you're having a bad day, you're going to let them have it, and you wounded them, and they decided not to come back to church. I wonder how much we've missed out on because we poked ourselves in the eye. You say, why'd you just get so mad? Okay, good example. My glaucoma has offended me a few times. you know, glaucoma is my eye disease that I have, and especially my right eye. I can't see very well out of it, but I do all these drops and everything, and there's been many, many times that's been a pain. Sometimes I had to spend my last whatever, you know, amount of money and buy those drops, and you just get mad. So, all right, that does it, and I get a fork and go, that'll take care of that. Now, again, folks, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You may get mad. Just get over your getting mad. Just like I had to get over getting mad about my glaucoma, because it's my body. And I'm not, you know what? It's the body that God gave me, and I'm not going to wound my body. And we ought to be so careful not to wound our body. As you take that little piece of bread, I want to remind you that God said, we, being many, are one. As you drink that little cup, we have communion, we have fellowship, I want you to understand, it's based upon our function. We are one. The fact of the matter is, we need each other. We need each other. You know, you like to eat? Oh yeah, we love to eat. Well, you know, it's nice to have feet to take us to a place where there's food. Nice to have hands to be able to prepare whatever it is and to lift them up. Amen? You know, some of us after Thanksgiving, we got a lot of power right here because we did this so much. Amen? I mean, those curls, curling turkey into the mouth, that's pretty good stuff. And then everything has to happen and all that takes place. And it's nice when it all works, isn't it? You know what? God says, I've made it so this would all work if we'll all just listen to the mind of Christ. Amen. We need each other. Look real quick, Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. I want you, as we have the Lord's Supper, as we think about Jesus dying on the cross, as we think about how he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, I want you to also think about this. I want you to think about how you need the person and the people that are sitting next to you. I want you to think about how you need the people across the hall, the aisle way from you. I want you to think about how you need those that are working in the nursery, how we need each other. It is our function. We are to function as one. Communion, because we are family. Communion, because of our function. Number three, communion, because of our failure. Please don't miss this, because we do miss it a lot. Communion, because of our failure. The Bible says this, and we quote it so often, but we quote it because it's words that we use to lead others to Christ, but we sometimes forget it ourselves. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means that every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us. There's no one in this room who has not sinned. What's that mean? That means that all have sinned because communion, because of our failure. And when we have the Lord's Supper, I am going to take that bread, which is a symbol of the broken body of Jesus Christ that was nailed to a cross. And I'm going to take that bread. And I'm going to drink that cup, which is a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my sin. And I'm not going to look around and say, oh, that was for their sin. I'm going to look right here and know that was for my sin. Communion, because of our failure. Because we've all failed. We've all failed. I'm taking the Lord's Supper, communion, with those who are like me. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, back a few pages, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then look at his list. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And by the way, in that list is probably just about everything you and I would say, I don't like that. But notice what it says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Oh. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And as we have the Lord's Supper today, understand that the only difference between me and that list is Jesus Christ. That's the only difference. Well, look at old so-and-so. How about look at you? You and I, none of us are the judge. We can judge things to avoid and stay away as far as our own lives are concerned and everything else. But as far as that brother or that sister, they have to get saved the same way you get saved. This altar, there isn't a spot for good sinners. Amen. There's no at the foot of the cross, there's no sign that says, okay, good sinners come here and bad sinners go over here. It's just for sinners, every one of us. And we have communion because of our failure. It's fellowship. That means that I can sit down with Bob Wilbar and I'm no better than Bob Wilbar. We're both sinners saved by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful, Bob? It really is. It's such a blessing. You know, I can sit down with Brother Korea and we can fellowship one with another because there never has to even come to mind, oh, I wonder what kind of wicked things he's done. You know, or he thinks, well, I wonder what kind of wicked things Pastor's done. Oh, because we're saved by the blood of Jesus. Same blood. Same blood. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you did. That's why we have so many of our men go into jails and prisons and have over the years. And you know what? When you walk in there, there's no difference. I've preached in many jails and many prisons. And to be honest with you, the only difference is I get to leave. And I praise God for that. But I also recognize this, and everybody that's ever preached in a prison or jail, you better recognize when you hear that of that thing, that door shutting and latching, it's the grace of God. Amen. That you're able to walk out. Amen. Yeah, there's communion because of our failure. We have something in common there. You say, yeah, but they don't act like me. No, but they did. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't think like I do. No, but they used to when they were living in sin. You know? Amen. Instead of judging failure, why don't we recognize the grace of God Almighty? And if somebody does fail, happens to fail to meet whatever expectation you may have for them, how about this? How about praying for them and asking God just to help them and to help you? Communion. When we have the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes, I want you to think about the fellowship we have because we're all the same. We have all sinned. We needed the blood of Jesus Christ so we could be saved. And then number four, communion because of our fight. I don't know if you ever thought about that. We're in a battle. The devil hates you. The same devil that is after your family is after my family. Same devil. Okay, same devil that is after you is after that person that you don't necessarily like them so much. Communion. When I have the Lord's Supper and I look at my men here, the fellows that'll be serving and everything, I think, boy, they're in the same fight I'm in. And if they could kick the devil while I'm punching him, that works pretty well. Amen. How in the world do we forget that? I mean, I'm gonna drink the cup and I'm gonna eat the bread with those who are in the same fight that I'm in. Same one that's after my family is after your family. Same one that's after my testimony, he's after your testimony. Same one that is after my church, he's after your church. Amen. I don't know who made the quote, but I've heard it before. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I got news for you. If you're gonna fight the devil, I'm on your side. I'll try to help you. Amen. This is one of the things, you know, you've heard me say this, Phyllis. I get a kick out of Phyllis. Sometimes I counsel with her, and I'll never forget the first time she said to me, she was looking for words, trying to describe the devil and what the trouble. She said, he's a creep. I like that. I said, you know what, Phyllis? I like that. I'm for you, because I think he's a creep too, you know? And the thing is, she is identified as his enemy. So she's my friend. And I got news for you. You're going to fight the devil. You fight the devil, I'm on your side. And that's something we have in common. He's the enemy. You know, Matt Varnum's not my enemy. He's fighting the devil too. So he's my friend. And when we have communion in a few minutes, let's recognize that we have the same enemy as your enemy, and we're in a fight, and we need each other. And you know, as you pass that tray to that person next to you, understand, okay, you know, and this happens all the time. Well, they're sure not happy today. Well, have you ever thought, instead of criticizing them for not being happy today, that maybe you ought to pray for them because the devil punched them? You know, maybe they're just going through a tough time. And as you pass that tray to them, maybe Lord, they seem to be a little down today. Could you help? Or perish the thought that if somebody sins and you know about it, that instead of getting on the phone and telling everybody else or Facebooking it to the whole world, that maybe you'd get on your knees and pray for them. Wow, that's a novel idea, isn't it? Yeah, because it's the same stinking creep devil that we're fighting. Amen. You're not passing the tray to your enemy. You're passing the tray to your friend. Yeah, communion because we're a family. Communion because of our function as one. Communion because of our failure, we've all sinned. Communion because of our fight, we're fighting the same enemy. And then the last thing, number five, is communion because of the future. You really need to think about this. You know, that person that didn't smile at you this morning and now you're really upset. I just won't give them a Christmas card. That'll teach them. You know, that person that they didn't call you and tell you, the latest thing that you needed to know or whatever it was, you know, and now you are mad. You understand that's what most fights are about. There's something stupid. I guarantee there's married couples in this room. You're fighting about something right now, and it's probably the most stupid thing. It's worse than David and the Barbie marrying the G.I. Joe. In fact, there's folks here mad about something. You don't even remember what it is. You've just decided, I'm just going to stay mad. Well, let me say this. I got news for you. Probably, it's very possible that you'll be neighbors in heaven. You better figure it out. Amen. You better figure it out. Can you imagine you're on streets of gold? Here you are walking down the streets of gold, and there's that person. It ain't happening, folks. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you. I mean, seriously, snubbing on streets of gold. You know, I'm convinced, and I think about this sometimes, Brother Korea. You know, I wonder if maybe there's going to be an orientation time in heaven for some folks. You know, okay, here's how we smile. I'm serious. I worry about that sometimes. Okay, here's how. When we sing, we smile, you know, instead of, Amazing grace, how sweet. You know, we're happy, we're joyful, and you have to get along. Amen. And by the way, your neighbor is, and they mention that person, you shudder a little bit, right? I got news for you. In the future, isn't going to be like that. Isn't going to be like that. You know, there will have to be an orientation, weaning from negativity. You know, weaning off of criticizing, the first thing always. It's just always critical. Too hot, too cold. You know, this is, I don't like this. I don't like that. Pews are too hard. Now they're too soft. I sink. I can't get up. I can't get down. I mean, it's just always something. You know, gripe. Well, Adam, this grape juice isn't as good as the last was. I wonder who bought the grape juice this time. Well, why? You know, the other church we went to, they had bigger wafers. Look, it's not meant to fill you up. Okay, that's later on, all right? But it's like, what, you know, what is that? Well, in the future, it isn't going to be. It's not going to be. You know, the Bible says this in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. And I realize, I think the context there is the law. The law will not offend you if you love it. But I think it applies to so many areas of our life. You know, it just, things, they just aren't going to bother us because I love God's word. I just want to please God. And we can have communion today because of the future. We're all going to be together in heaven. That's for all eternity. And if your mansion is next to somebody that you just, I don't like them. Can you imagine how miserable that would be? But it isn't going to be like that. You're going to have to go through orientation. But in a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to remember Jesus. We're going to think about him and his living a perfect life on this earth and coming and dying on a cross and paying for our sins. And him being buried in a tomb and then rising again, praise God, and eternal life. And we're going to think about Jesus. He's coming again. Think about, though, how pleased he'd be if we recognize that we're one body, one family. He's our Father. And that we recognize we're fighting against the same enemy. And we've all failed. None of us are perfect. So if somebody does something stupid on one day or they do something even wrong. You know, I said this week. I said it to a couple people. It just seems like things, you know, come up. I would say 90, maybe 97% of the time when you're upset at somebody because they did something, they didn't mean to do it. I don't know. In fact, as I look around, I don't know of anybody that sits and thinks, how can I make them miserable? I don't think it's true. I don't think that happens. I don't think any of you are trying to hurt anybody ever in your church. It just, things just happen because we all fail. But as we have communion, as we think about the fellowship, you know, think about our family. It's our family. Think about our function as one body. Think about the failures. You know, none of us are perfect. Think about the fight. We're all against the same enemy. And think about the future, how that we're going to be together for all eternity. It seems like we ought to get along. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads.